Amen, indeed. If you have a copy of God's Word, make your way to Titus chapter 3 as we close up this powerful, I hope it has been for you, this powerful letter that Paul wrote to this church in Crete. You know, it's always hard to say goodbye to a friend, and once again we say goodbye to this friend, Titus. And I hope as you study God's Word, as you read God's Word, that there are notes and things that you've circled so that when you come back to Titus someday in your personal devotions, you might remember some of these things and again be reminded of how God used this church in Crete. Titus chapter 3, Paul concludes this letter by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith, and grace be with you all." Teamwork makes the dream work, right? Some of the greatest teams ever assembled on earth. Well, let's start in football. Of course, the 2007 Indianapolis Colts, led by Hall of Famer Peyton Manning, beat the Bears 29-17. Greatest team ever assembled. Thank you. In basketball, of course, are the back-to-back NBA champions, my Detroit Pistons. It's weird that all the greatest teams are my favorite teams. But it's not just football that has the greatest teams. How about this team? The A-team. Right? If you grew up in the 80s, you remember the A-team. Well, again, there is the old saying, teamwork makes the dream work. I want you to consider, as we close out Titus, what it means to be a part of a team. This passage, Titus, that Paul writes to Titus, we start to recognize, and if you read Scripture at all, you see that Paul had a team. Paul didn't do the Christian life alone. Paul went through a lot. And we're not going to read it, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives you an insight into the ministry that Paul had. But in every letter that Paul wrote, like Titus, Paul talks about the team that he had. Jesus' team. And that's what you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're on his team. It isn't the team maybe you chose, but it's the team that God chose. Are we in this together? Or are we trying to do it alone? Well, maybe this passage can encourage us to be a part of a team. By the way, look at Paul's team. Just as a reminder, this morning in verse 12, you see guys like Artemis and Tychicus and Zena and Apollos. But if you read your scriptures, if you read your Bible, you're going to see Paul mention Priscilla and Aquila, Prisca, Urbanus, Timothy, and Titus, obviously, Philemon, these are letters that Paul wrote, but they are individuals on his team, Clement, Aristocratus, or whatever. I don't see many kids name that in Sunday school anymore. Mark and Justus, Demas and Luke and Apphia and Archippus, Epaphroditus, and there are many others that are mentioned in the book of Acts. Do you have a team? A team that you can talk to spiritually. Partners in the gospel. That's what Paul calls his team. Philippians chapter 1 says it. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Who's on your spiritual team? Are you on somebody's spiritual team? This morning, I want to look at Paul's final words to Titus as an encouragement and a challenge to be on a team. A team that has faith that's working. So what does this team look like? What does a spiritual team look like? Well, the last couple of verses in chapter 3 as we close, what we see is that the team, they minister together. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis. Titus, do your best to come to me in Nicopolis. For I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to spend two guys that are already there, part of the team, Zenas and Apollos, send them on their way and see that they lack nothing. These people are part of a ministry team in Crete. Seeing people come to Jesus in their community. Paul didn't do this by himself. The church is made up of believers ministering together. Working together. Not just feeding, but laboring. Paul says that in Philippians 4:3. That's what ministry is. It ought to be labor. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored, these partners in his ministry, these women labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement. There's another one of his teammates. And the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. You know what a spiritual team looks like? It's a team that is laboring. Not just feeding. So let's look deeper into that ministry team. In verse 12, it talked about Artemis. Who's Artemis, by the way? Well, maybe we get a little idea from what his name means. His name means to be sound, to be whole. Odds are he was probably led to the Lord by Paul. But I want you to notice that Paul has the same confidence in Artemis and Tychicus as he did in Titus. Why? Because he's sending them to this church. The same church he sent Titus to get it in order. He must have been sound. He must have been whole in his faith. Artemis, just like his namesake, was solid. A faithful follower of Jesus, and that's why Paul could send him. That's why he sent him to Crete. These great people are part of Paul's ministry team. He could count on them. That they would serve no matter what. Paul counted on Artemis and Tychicus to do the work of ministry. That's what's part of being a part of a team, is you do the work. Artemis is to be like Titus. Another example to this church in Crete that needed examples of what it meant to labor and to be faithful. There's also Tychicus. We learn that his name means fortunate. And again, he is a guy that Paul was fortunate to have on his team. He is again, like Artemis, going to minister in this town of Crete, in this country of Crete, just like Titus, to set things in order, to provide an example to the believers there, and to lead more people to Christ. Again, Tychicus, like Artemis, is a guy that you can count on, that Paul could count on. The church in Crete, Paul's team, they ought to be fortunate to have a guy like Tychicus. And by the way, we know that Paul was fortunate to have Tychicus because Crete wasn't the only place he sent this guy. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, he'll tell you everything because he'll be there. But then we see him in Colossians. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Again, he is a guy that Paul is fortunate to have on his team because he is going to work. He's going to minister. He's going to labor. These ministry partners of Paul were beloved brothers, faithful servants, fellow bond slaves. They were his ministry team. You know what they were motivated by? They were motivated by a common salvation. They all have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They had a consistent faith. Faithful. They could always be count on to do the work of the ministry. You don't have to ask them twice. They're always available. He or she, if they would have had cell phones, they would have been the first person you'd text if you needed something or if you needed a prayer request. Someone to pray for. Jesus used this team because they were people that would be willing to labor for the Lord. We ought to strive to be a team like this, pointing people to Jesus. You know, the world absolutely wants us to isolate ourselves. They want you to be a place that goes to church, not be the church. The world wants us to do this by ourselves. And God's word says, you've got to have a team. A team that ministers together. Listen. Teamwork makes the dream work, doesn't it? Look again at verse 12. Notice Paul tells Titus to come to him. Come to him to Nicopolis. Why? Go to verse 12. Here's why. Because ministry's hard. And when you labor together, when you minister together, you get tired. Did you know that? Paul and Titus needed to rest. Because when you actually minister, when you actually labor, you get tired. Can you believe it? All people, even Christ followers, can be very demanding. And it gets tiring. Paul says, Titus, come to me in Nicopolis over the winter and we can rest. Paul tells Titus, it's important that you come to me so we can rest, teammate. If you minister at any point, if you labor at any point, it's okay for you to take a rest. You don't have to burn yourself out. And that's often what happens in a church. You know why? Typically, because oftentimes 20% of the church does 80% of the work. But if we all work together, if we all sacrifice together, if we all minister together, you'll still need your rest. And it's okay. The Word of God gives you permission to take a rest. And if you've been burned out, if you've been burned out in ministry, and I imagine there's a few of you, take your rest. Take your rest. And Lord willing, come back to serve. And trust that God has still called you to be in the ministry. Maybe it'll be in some other area, I don't know. But God has called us to labor. But it's okay to take a rest. A spiritual team ministers, labors together for the glory of God. What else can we see on this spiritual team? Not only do they minister together, labor together, but they also challenge each other. That's what good teams do, don't they? Look at verses 13 and 14 again. Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Now, being available, ministering, and being faithful is important to your spiritual team. But there is also an aspect that we must be willing to challenge each other. That's what makes a good team. There are several challenges just in these two verses that Paul is challenging both Titus and the church in Crete. Again, verse 13, it says, notice Paul says, send a couple of your finest, people that are already there, Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos, on their way. So just on a side note, by the way, isn't it good of God to make sure that we know lawyers get to go to heaven? Just saying. Kind of weird that it says lawyer there. I assume the same thing. It's pretty surprising that a lawyer gets to heaven. I so, though, back to the seriousness, I so desire for High Point Church to be a missionary sending church of our finest. Paul is challenging the church in Crete to let go of some of their finest. I got to tell you, that's not an easy thing. Especially if they're faithful, especially if they're laboring, as I assume Zenas and Apollos are doing. It's really hard to say goodbye to the finest. I'll send you a couple that aren't. No, Paul says, I need you to send your finest. When I had the opportunity to plant this church other than my wife, of course, which without her, we wouldn't have planted this church. There was a friend of mine named Jason Gerwell. He was one of my best friends in the faith. When I was asked to plant the church for Sailorville, other than my wife making sure she was good to go, I remember sitting out at my house out in Runnels, sitting on my back porch, and I called Jason. And I said, you know, I think God's calling me to plant a church. I don't know where yet, but would you be willing to come with me? I want a guy that I can trust, that I can be, that I know is going to be faithful, that I know will be there, have my back, whatever. And it didn't take Jason more than 30 seconds to say, I'm with you. He came and spent 2 years helping plant High Point Church. And then Sailorville decided it was time to plant another church. I could have told Pat and Dave, Jason's not your guy. Selfishly, I could have said, he's not your guy, so we could keep our finest. It is a challenge to send your finest. Apollos and Zena needed to know that the Crete believers, that it was okay to let them go. If you're going to be a part of a team, sometimes you got to lose them. Paul also challenges the church to make sure that these guys are taken care of. Verse 13, see that they lack nothing. I think a great pretext for supporting your missionaries. Another challenge to the team in Crete, verse 14, learn to devote themselves to good works. Paul's again challenging the Crete Christian followers to be generous, and especially to your missionaries. Learn to support these people. It's not just about the church here. It's about what God is doing in other places. Learn that it's not just about here. And by the way, other books of the Bible speak to this missionary kind of mindset. John had it. In 3 John, he writes this, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Again, being challenged, make sure these missionaries are taken care of. For they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support these people. It's a challenge to the church to give it away, to give people away, to give your resources away. It is a good thing. And I look forward to when we can send. We have missionaries now, praise God. We have Nan at FCA. And I rejoice that when you give to High Point Church, we give back to them, to our missionaries. So you're part of that. Lucas and Teresa, who we'll see here in about a month. Then there's other organizations like Alpha Women's Centers. But there's also other missionaries that we as a church support that we can't even tell you about because they're in areas that it's unsafe for us to tell you. Or it's unsafe for them. It's always safe for us, I guess. We live in America. But when you give to the church, you got to know that the elders, that part of our challenge is to give back. Zenas and Apollos were essential traveling missionaries. And they came to Crete, and they served and ministered and are a part of a team, and now it was time for Crete to let them go, but give them a rounding financial support. Notice the Cretan Christians are to do everything they can to help them. It says so they can go on to their next place of urgent need. And by the way, any place that we send missionaries, there's a place for them to minister the gospel and see more people come to Christ. Amen? Our job as a church is to see that heaven's crowded. And that takes sometimes sending our finest. Amen? You young people, would you consider that God might send you somewhere? That God might raise you up in your church with a passion and a fire like Zenos and Apollos, that you know, oh, I love my local church, but I feel like I'm being sent to places throughout the world. Can I make a promise to you? Your church will support you. Your church will do everything. For we are challenged by Scripture, and we will fulfill that promise. These are the challenges of being a part of a team. They are to be devoted to good works. Again, this is the sixth time that Paul urges Titus to remind the church to do good works. Our people must learn to devote themselves to good works. It's as if he can't conclude the book without one more challenge to the believers to not just be feeders, but doers. I wonder why, in such a short letter, three chapters, that he has to bring it up six different times to the church. My guess is because by our nature, we don't automatically do things for others. We are often consumed by our own issues. The church in Crete is being challenged to be sacrificial, to be faithful, to be generous, and to be a partner in what God is doing throughout the world. I love that Allison and the team have put together over, 150 boxes already, shoe boxes, that'll go out throughout all of the world or wherever they're sending them in the world, filled with Bibles, essentials, to countless countries. And by the way, that's a challenge. We have to have those boxes in. We have over 300 of them out to all of us. We've received probably 150 of them. If we don't get them in next week, they can't be sent because they have to go through customs. They have to go through their process. If we don't get them by next week, they don't go out. They'll go out next year, I guess, but get them in. And what a blessing that'll be. Thank you, Allison, for thinking outside of this church. I love that Jamie Dietrich is putting together an Amazon wish list for the teachers' rooms that we serve in this building. Thinking outside of the box, how can we best serve people? We've been doing it for many years. Get on board, church. This is the challenge if you're part of a team. So, Team Jesus, Paul tells us, ministers together, challenges each other, and then lastly, I see that they do encourage each other. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 15 with me. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. All who are with me on my team, Paul says, send their greetings. This isn't just a nice way to end a letter. This is God's word. They are genuinely sending greetings to another part of the world that is pointing people to Jesus. How encouraging is that? You can just hear the genuineness of Paul in this closing. He's encouraging Titus and all the other believers in Crete. Hey, we're in this together. All for the glory of God. Amen? So, what does your spiritual team look like? And listen, if you're thinking, well, I don't have a team. Listen, it's not about having as many as Paul had. Maybe you just need one. One person you're willing to minister with. One person you can actually challenge each other with. One person that you encourage each other with spiritual in their spiritual journey. But be a part of a team. Minister together. Challenge each other. Encourage each other. I'm certain you're on a bunch of teams, secularly speaking. PTAs, work teams, Pinterest teams, Facebook teams, basketball teams. I don't think there's nothing wrong with those teams. Praise the Lord. Are you on a spiritual team? So what's the application? Well, number one, who's on your team? Maybe for some of us, we just need to get involved. And the reason we feel alone is because we're just a consumer. We come to church. We're not really a part of the church. Because it takes sacrifice, by the way. It takes to be challenged. Sometimes we don't like that, right? I guarantee you any sports team, and I love sports, if the team that has been really successful, when a team is really successful, they can challenge each other. It's not rainbows and butterflies. It's like, if the guy's not doing this, get off your butt and let's go. Who's in your life spiritually that can tell you to get off your butt and let's go? Maybe you need to be that person. But also it's about being approachable and friendly. Some of you, to be honest with you, you may not be on a team because you're not very friendly. People are scared of you. Repent. Put a smile on your face. Say hello. Hi. How can I serve you? I love you. Give me a hug. I think part of the reason we don't have a team is because we're not approachable. Who's on your team? And by the way, part of being in that team, like I said, is that you're willing to challenge each other. If you can't speak into each other's life and you get offended right away, that's partly why you're not on the team. You want superficial relationships. I got to tell you, I want a team that can speak into your life. Pastor Todd, he can speak into my life. The pastors speak into my life. Can I tell you? Speak into my life. Be gentle. Don't do it all tomorrow. Don't do all caps emails. But we ought to be challenging each other. It's okay. You can't steal my salvation for the bad things you say about me. And then again, do we stir each other up? Do we encourage each other? Let's go. There isn't much time left. You think you got 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? I tell you what, goes like that. Let's go. Let's pray for your neighbor that they get saved. Let's pray for your classmate that they get saved. Let's pray for your neighbor. Let's encourage each other to point each other to Jesus Christ. That's how this letter concludes. These aren't just throwaway verses at the end of a letter. They are a challenge to the church to be on a team. And I'd lastly say this. Some of you need to be on Team Jesus' team. You're still trying to do your life alone. And namely, you're trying to do your salvation alone. Jesus would tell you, you have to surrender. You have to acknowledge that you are a sinner before a holy God. And Jesus died for your sins personally. That he rose from the dead to declare victory over sin, Satan, and death. And you need to put your faith and trust in his work today. And be a part of his team. And then be a part of the bigger team. Church, High Point Church, I am so thankful to be a part of this team. And may God get all the glory for what he's going to do. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for the team that you put together. Thank you for saving me from my sins and putting me on your team. And Jesus, I thank you for the faithful workers, the people who challenge, the people who encourage. God, thankful for your team. I do pray for those that feel like they're not part of the team. Though they are on Team Jesus, they feel alone. Lord, would you encourage them? Would you answer their prayer? Would you put them out there? Would you bring someone alongside? Maybe press on them to initiate. And God, we want you to get all the glory until you call us home. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand.